This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
Good morning, I'm Noel Lim. Today I'll be speaking with Gunjan Soni, CEO of Zalora, the largest fashion e-commerce platform in 7 countries in Southeast Asia, with access to more than 200 million customers. Zalora is also one of the fastest growing businesses within its parent company's portfolio, Global Fashion Group. Gunjan, thank you for joining us and I hope you've been well. Now that many people are working from home, how have fashion buying habits changed?
We've seen some very clear trends emerge in terms of what people are preferring to buy. The occasion wear category has definitely seen a huge dip because, like you and me and many others, we are not buying as many dresses when it comes to the women's segment or high heels, and similarly for formal wear for men. On the other hand, at-home categories are doing really, really well. I think everybody has become a fitness enthusiast, and that means that the sports and wellness category is definitely growing rapidly. People are also opting for self-care at home, which means beauty, especially skin and hair care products are doing very well. Similarly, we've seen loungewear and other comfort clothes and core categories actually doing quite well during this pandemic as people work from home.
What trends do you think will be sticky?
I think, definitely the trend for sports and fitness will be sticky. We've seen that actually in terms of, good growth, even in the last few years, as people have just become more and more active, especially the young population in Southeast Asia. And, I think if anything, this pandemic has reinforced the need for that in the minds of people. I think beyond that, some of the trends towards consumption of beauty products online as people get more comfortable with it will also continue. Trend is towards, more core and classic products, versus products that last perhaps one season. And that's happening both globally as well in Southeast Asia. We also see subsegments which are very loyal to local brands, especially local designer brands. And I think that's, again, a trend that we see across markets.
Speaking about sportswear, I cannot help but notice there are some local entrepreneurs who try to break into this market by doing their own sports apparel, but they don't seem to make much headway because I suppose Nike and Under Armour, they have such strong marketing budgets. So what would be your advice for local entrepreneurs who want to get into that space of sportswear?
That to more the lifestyle segment, so not the serious sports play, but the lifestyle, focusing on comfort, especially given that, the climate in many of the countries in Southeast Asia is quite hot and often even humid. And if therefore, the more they can focus on that and the more they can also focus on interesting use of local textiles and products to add an edge of innovation will help them break into this segment.
Zalora has been in business for about 8 years now. Is it profitable already?
We don't talk about our key metrics publicly on this part. Having said that, for us, the primary focus in the last 8 years has been really about investing and building the e-commerce ecosystem, especially when it comes to the fashion and lifestyle categories. The adoption rate in the countries we operate in, you must be quite familiar already, is very low. So we're talking about anywhere from an average of between 3% to 7% adoption of e-commerce. In this phase of development, we believe our primary job is to invest behind growth and behind, onboarding new customers. And we've had a fantastic journey on that. As of now, we have close to 50 million monthly visitors. We have cumulative app downloads of a similar number as well, which is very, very significant. And we are very pleased to see that. We've also actually made very dramatic improvements in our profitability, especially as we have gained scale in the last 2 years. And that to us is important, but the second priority after growth and customer acquisition.
What makes it difficult to convert customers?
It's primarily, you know, entrenched habits, you know, where people have been buying offline for very, very long periods of time. And it takes, you know, some degree of, you know, conviction to be able to try something new. The biggest barrier, though, in this part of the world, in Southeast Asia, we see is really breaking the trust barrier, which also leads to, even till now, a lot of people opting for a cash on delivery as their preferred mode. And the matters are not helped with, you know, a lot of fake products often trading online because of not enough authenticity practices. And I think this is where Zalora has been super focused in breaking the norms. So we obviously offer and make it very easy for people to shop. You know, we have 30 days, no questions asked returns to make it easy for them to try a category like fashion, especially. We obviously offer many payment options, including cash on delivery. But I think the most important is that we actually work with more than 3,000 brands directly. And therefore, we can actually promise an authentic product experience every time a customer makes a purchase on Zalora. Beyond that, it's inertia. And therefore, you know, we are definitely seeing COVID in some ways actually help break that. And as a result, you know, last quarter, across many categories, but also for fashion and lifestyle, we've seen new customer adoption rate really accelerate. We acquired more than 2 million customers just last quarter itself.
Poll that I did amongst my colleagues who are mostly millennials, if they did shop online, they would still buy from physical brands where they know the fit. So it's about the fit, it's that certainty. Apart from friendly return policies and, like you mentioned, the 30-day policy, how else would you reduce the risk of buying from Zalora? Like, is technology one possible solution?
We do believe it's one of the strongest solutions, especially now that, you know, there are some significant new developments, especially in the field of augmented reality, as well as artificial intelligence, which is helping us really, really understand the size and fit issue in particular very well. So, you know, very soon you will be able to, including on Zalora, be able to do virtual trial of products. And that's something that, you know, we are exploring and doing a lot of research on to make sure that we are able to offer the best experience. This would include, you know, getting a sense of how the dress will fit on you. So, you know, you could look for a loose fit, you could look for, you know, a comfort fit or a tight fit. And these options will be virtually stimulated for you to be able to make a pick. The data is also helping because we are now able to see, basis your past purchases, what sizes fit you. And, you know, we will be very soon, and we're already doing that on our website, be able to recommend to you which size you're likely to be able to fit better into, depending upon the brand of purchase, even when you won't have to wait in queues to try out 10, 15 dresses, and you'll be able to see your virtual avatar do it in seconds for you online.
You mentioned virtual reality, augmented reality. Will it be a reality, say, maybe next year?
It definitely will be, yes.
So when I look at the Zalora website, it's very transactional and it's very functional. And so it shows the clothes, the prices and descriptions. And then when I look at websites like ASOS and Net-a-Porter, they have curation and there's a lot of content and storytelling. In some sense, there's a lot of emphasis on visual. So they combine media, fashion and e-commerce. Are you thinking in this direction to improve customer experience, or perhaps it's not a priority at this point?
We see, you know, two or three types of customer behaviors which are very unique to Southeast Asia. In particular, you know, value for money is of a priority, as we all are well aware, across categories. And therefore, we've made sure that our experience is first and foremost easy for people to navigate. But we definitely believe that we operate in the world of fashion. And fashion is as much about inspiration and experience as it is about completing your transaction successfully. there are, you know, some very interesting future innovations we are planning to launch as well. I think the first and foremost will be the focus on more AR and VR driven, you know, experiences, because I definitely believe that the world has leapfrogged and the traditional text-based storytelling is no longer, you know, where our consumers are. They're already moving to experiences. On Zalora next year, you know, shoppable videos, you will be able to see these curated lookbooks, which will be shoppable. And you can definitely look forward to being able to virtually try on. So yeah, those are some of the areas that we're working on and in the pipeline for next year's launch.
On The Breakfast Grill, I'm speaking with Gunjan Soni, CEO of Zalora, the largest fashion e-commerce platform in Southeast Asia. I'll be asking how Zalora is positioning itself as a fashion influencer and how it is helping build a fashion industry and ecosystem in Malaysia. Keep it here.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
Welcome back. Gunjan Soni, the CEO of Zalora, joins us this morning. Going beyond functioning as an e-commerce platform, how will Zalora influence and shape lifestyle trends?
I think number one is the trend towards sustainability. We definitely have young Gen Z population as a very large proportion of our total customers. And this customer segment is very willing to adopt and think beyond on how to help planet Earth. But as Zalora, we are the first company here in Southeast Asia to actually publicly announce a very clear sustainability plan. We have actually made it easy for our shoppers to discover sustainable products on Zalora. So if you go online, you can actually filter, you can see product tags, which will tell you the material choices, the origin, and many other attributes, making it easy for you to find your sustainable product. We also launched the pre-loved category. Again, one of the areas where we saw from our internal surveys, but also many external researchers, that Gen Z is very willing to adopt. It feeds well to their desire for helping planet Earth, at the same time, you know, getting more value for money and brands that they aspire for and love. And I do believe that sustainability will be a trend that both we are trying to shape, but also a trend that will be very, very strong in the region pretty soon.
From Zalora's perspective, what is considered sustainable?
If I were to pick, you know, three of the primary pillars in the way we approach it, you know, I think number one is making sure that we're looking at the entire consumption bucket itself. And which is where encouraging people to choose sustainable products. This is about material choices. This is about the origin. This is also about the supply chain and how people who were part of the supply chain treated as they were making these products. So we go to that extent in making sure that our products and from the brands, we get that transparency. So that's one pillar. Within consumption also comes the category of reuse, and which is where we believe pre-loved and what we call the circular economy is going to be a very, very big play. So that's one pillar. The second pillar is the more direct environmental impact that the industry creates. And there we look at the carbon footprint. We look at the footprint of, you know, the material choices, but again, also the plastic. And, you know, we already have in most of our markets more than 80% reusable plastic being used in our packaging. And that's something we are trying to make sure is an area of priority across the markets as well.
So how popular is sustainable fashion? Because my impression about fashion that's sustainable can be very expensive.
So sustainable fashion is an emerging category at the moment, but it is growing faster than I think many people predicted, especially in Southeast Asia. A lot of emphasis on knowing that when you make a sustainable product choice, you do it on the core categories and not necessarily for, you know, the fast fashion or the occasion wear categories. And what that means is that, you know, these products are long lasting. And therefore, if you choose the classic pieces or core fashion, as we call it, they will actually stay with you long, and they have this timeless beauty, which actually ensures that you'll be able to use and reuse and blend them and combine them with various other accessories and looks to keep them fresh also. And in the same lens, we believe that the other trend, which will really do very well in Southeast Asia, because it really feeds to this need also of value for money, like you said, circular fashion is about reuse. And there are people who are very comfortable now, especially the Gen Z, who are willing to actually pick products, especially when they're validated and authenticated for high-end brands, but also in the categories of apparel. Having said that, I do believe that if we take a 3 to 5 year perspective, we will see that sustainable fashion products will not be as expensive as well, because several brands are investing behind these. And when large brands invest, it brings scale to these categories. And with scale, you definitely tend to see a reduction in price points. Which also will be a very, very healthy trend for adoption.
Helping local entrepreneurs. So I looked at your website, at least for the Malaysian site. The modest wear vendors are not the big brand names like, say, Nilofa. And then when I asked around, I spoke to some leading fashion entrepreneurs in Malaysia. A couple of complaints that I received about snobbery and favoritism that's practiced by Zalora. Could you tell us what is your criteria in selecting and keeping local fashion brands on your site?
We want to make sure that anybody who is bringing products has first and foremost practiced sustainable applications in the build of the product. And we like to try and understand, where was the product sourced from, under what conditions is it manufactured. The second is the product, bringing in a clear brand or creative definition, which is definitely subjective, and we err on the side of actually allowing more and more brands to flourish rather than not. And in fact, very recently we've actually partnered with the Ministry of Finance and on the Pinjana Initiative, which is definitely very narrowly focused at the moment on helping the micro SMEs. And that's, under that umbrella, we've also launched, Shop Malaysia online initiative on Zalora, where we are promoting products from local entrepreneurs. And that's a very big commitment from our side. So I'm very, very surprised to hear your comment. But for us, actually promoting local products is definitely a very, very big priority and something that we're focused on.
Would sales be a criteria in keeping some brands on your site, local brands?
We do not impose any sales-related criteria, in continuation of the brand once they go live. The criteria that is used is the quality of service. So, once you are online on the Zalora platform, we will definitely monitor and track performance, but not necessarily sales performance. What we track is the customer delivery related performance. So are you delivering on time? Are you able to, are there any stockouts which were unplanned and not informed to our consumers? Because the experience is very valuable to us. So those are the criteria where occasionally players who are underperforming consistently will get a warning and then may even get taken off the platform.
What about things like having a Zalora Fashion University, building that kind of soft power and goodwill? Is that something that you are thinking of?
We definitely are. And especially, during this COVID crisis, we've realized, two or three trends which are important. One is, really helping a lot of the smaller brands come online, be available online. How can they come on board? Zalora, for example. And what will help them be successful in that presence. The second area I do believe that's important is really around data-related education. I think for a lot of local entrepreneurs, they have very limited visibility on where are the consumer trends going. And for this, we've launched a new data platform and service, which we call Trenda. Picking up both from the world of data and fashion. And, we do believe that's where creativity meets the world of data, category level insights, so they can understand, you know, what's selling, what's not selling, even things like color choices in line with the consumer demand trends.
And speaking about data, you also have your private labels like Zalora and Something Borrowed. How do you bring all that data, that historical data that you have about buying trends, and then also reconciling with what's going on the fashion runway, bringing that all together?
Now you're asking for our trade secret. Well, so we definitely have, some very successful private brands, like you mentioned. And I think we have Zalia and Lubna on the modest wear category, which also are very successful in their own right. Without getting into the details, it's really the marriage between what we call the existing and near-term trends with what we think is where the future is evolving. So we definitely track what's happening globally, but we more importantly track, you know, what's selling on our own platform, because we are able to then get into the micro segments of consumer preferences by country, by even, you know, micro geographies. And I think that's really where our algorithms are giving us an edge for sure. Yes.
Thank you for speaking with us, Gunjan Soni, CEO of Zalora Group. I'm Noelle Lim on BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U Mobile, unleashing unlimited potential every day.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.